Good Friday. Today is October the 10th, and you're listening to My Farm, where today we're going to take a look at home invaders. Not necessarily burglars, but some of those insect pests and rodents that like to move into our houses as we experience cooler weather this time of year. We'll take a look at different ways to reduce those and more after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
Well, taking a look out in the backyard and garden, I came across an interesting article dealing with bagworms. Now, usually this is a pest that we talk about a lot of times in the midsummer as it attacks arborvitae and other trees, but really is one that we need to pay more attention to in the spring as those worms are emerging, actually doing the feeding, when insecticides can be more effective rather than later in the season when they become encompassed in that bag. Now, this interesting story looked at different literature and studies that were using parasitoid wasps that would actually inject or lay their eggs into those bags, and they would actually attack the bagworms, the worms that were encompassed in that bag. And it's interesting, bagworms have one generation per season, with eggs hatching in late May to early June. So the pre-pupal and pupal stages targeted by the wasp don't happen until late summer. But there are multiple generations of these wasps, and the literature has shown generations develop in other insect species before appearing on the scene to attack the bagworms. So what they're saying as a management strategy is, if you plant a lot of different flowering plants for pollinators that would attract some of these different types of parasitoid wasps, they would go after those flowers because they want the nectar just like any other pollinator, but they also would be going after these potentially bagworm bags that they would find to lay their eggs to develop young. It's unique integrated pest management approach that precludes the use of any pesticides, insecticide-type pesticides, and lets Mother Nature really do the work. We'll follow up on this story in the future. We do want to continue talking a little bit about insects, as now is the time to go through and sort of insect-proof your home. You know, as the nights are getting cooler the last couple weeks, and we get closer to that time of year, we have a lot of home invaders, if you will, and there are a number of the different types of beaters. It can be the box elder bug, it can be the multicolored Asian lady beetle, it may be ladybugs, or a whole host of others, and what they're looking for is a warm place to overwinter. And so oftentimes they try and find cavities in houses. It may be in our attics, it may be coming in around the windows, doorposts, or even gaps in the siding. It doesn't take a very big hole for them to come in. And again, they're just trying to find a place to overwinter. The best way to deal with them is to keep them out in the first place. And so finding a good way to either caulk or seal those openings is usually the best way to go about it. It may also be around the foundation or windows around the cellar. Now, an added benefit to doing it this time of year is this is also when we see a lot of field mice start to move into the houses. And so it's a great way, if we can find those and close those, we're keeping the mice out, we're keeping the insects out, and I think everybody will be much happier as we get into the cold weather that's still to come. Well, stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. We're going to change directions now, go from talking about insects to talking about trees and the fall colors. USDA's Rod Bain has more.
The start of autumn and the start of the fall color season. For those who love a road trip to their national forest or hometown park to see the changing of leaf colors in the autumn months. And there perhaps is no more known representation of this phenomenon than in the forest of New England.
You can see widespread swaths of these hardwood trees such as sugar maple, American beech, yellow birch, paper birch, ash. They're all turning color,
revealing various shades of gold, red, and orange, according to Amy Bailey, a U.S. Forest Service technician in New Hampshire. And while several view the transformation of fall colors with natural artistry in mind, Kansas State University Extension horticultural expert Cynthia Domenghini and others see it from a scientific perspective.
What you actually are seeing is that the leaves aren't necessarily changing color, they're revealing colors.
Some fall leaf fan dancing? Get that out of your head and think of fall color changes scientifically.
Bazinga!
Fall colors are always present within the leaves. Fall color pigments, however, are overshadowed by nature's process in the summer.
The chlorophyll in the plant leaves that's capturing the energy from the sun and making food for the plants, we're seeing the green that's being produced from all of that.
Chlorophyll production is slowed down in the autumn months as sunlight decreases and days grow shorter.
So the leaves lose their green color and the other pigments are now being revealed. They're visible now.
For you plant pathologists out there, by career or just interest, you may know the fall color pigments in leaves contain several components.
Some of those pigments that you're starting to see or you may see, depending on what varieties of plants are around, will show orange and yellow pigment. Those pigments are created by xanthophylls and carotenes. Tannins in the plant are producing the brown colors that you see. Anthocyanins will create reds and purple pigments. And the timing and intensity of the fall color varies depending on tree type, but also the environmental conditions.
That is why the fall color leaf display on any given tree can vary from year to year. What else determines the colors of the fall, weather of the spring and summer?
Usually what makes really brilliant color is a summer that's been somewhat moist, so the trees are healthy and the nights are getting longer and are getting colder. And then a sunny day that's going to allow the leaf to still make some sugars, and the sugars are going to help keep the leaf on the tree and expressing these colors that are now available.
Yet Amy Bailey of the Forest Service says of weather earlier this year in her home region of New England.
We got approximately 24 inches of rain in April, May, and June, which is twice what you usually get.
That wet period creating both fungal and insect attacks of foliage. That was followed by a late summer extreme heat period producing drought conditions.
These trees are just kind of completely stressed and maxed by this heat and drought.
The impacts to fall colors? Some trees in New England are undergoing a premature transition period. Others, especially those either with fungal or pest damage or with roots in shallow soils, reveal brown-colored, perhaps shriveled, leaves.
Thanks, Rod. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great weekend.